All right, let's grab our Bibles now and turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5 in your Bible, please. When you get there, if you join me in standing out of respect to the scriptures, we're going to read verses 1 through 13 responsively as we do. As our custom is, I'll read the first verse. You join me on the second. We'll go every other verse that way. Proverbs chapter 5. Starting in verse 1, it says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell, lest thou shalt ponder the path of her life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh to the door of her house. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and the labors in the house of stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me." Let's pray. Dear and Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for your word, Lord, the wisdom we find in it, God. I pray that you bless us tonight. Be with our preacher, Lord. Give him a special anointing, Lord. I pray you provide the unction for this function, Lord. In your name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated. If you go to different places, remember when I was working at the Presidential Towers in downtown Chicago, I used to work as a maintenance engineer, and it was a 49-story apartment complex. It was four towers, and 49-story complex and so on, and you could go up all 49 stories. There were these nice, luxurious, if you will, apartments. Some were studios, and some were one bedroom, two, three, up to three bedrooms. But you can go up to the 50th, of course, we maintenance engineers, if you will, could go to the 50th floor. There was a 50th floor. And you get up there, and there's all these, it's the boiler rooms and other different places, different things. But on the signs, or on the doors, there are these signs called, that says, "Keep out." We've all seen it. I almost bought one for my illustration tonight, but I didn't. So anyways, but "Keep out." And that's the title of my message tonight. Keep out. My text verse in this passage is verse number 8, and I'll just read it. "Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." Again, just be in mind that the subject, the title, "Keep out," as I preach about maybe two or three areas. I might go four. We'll see how time allows here. You probably want me to have my cell phone next to me because it'll tell me my time here. But I do want to help you a little bit tonight. There's at least two or three areas I really want to zoom in on tonight that we just need to stay away from, that we need to remove ourselves from, and it can be very dangerous to you. Why are these signs in there? Because it's dangerous. You don't go through them doors, if you will. It could be danger. A professional, if you will, ought to go in and take care of whatever's in there, but nobody else should go in there. And of course, the areas I'm talking about tonight, no one should go into these areas, and we need to just stay away from it. We just need to keep out of them. "Remove thy way from her, and come not nigh the door of thy house," of her house. Solomon seems to be instructing his son, and I like Solomon. I like the book of Proverbs, of course, and we have been, and we'll be picking up again soon, going through the book of Proverbs chapter by chapter. But Solomon seems to be speaking with a strong urgency to his son. You know, he says in verse 1, "My son, attend unto my wisdom." In other words, he's saying, "Son, listen to me." You know, and I think he's urgent about it. You know, you dads, when you're trying to warn them, you parents, when you're trying to warn them, you leaders, when you're trying to warn that next generation, the children or others, you know, you don't want to touch that hot stove. Stay away from it. You don't want to go down that path. Stay away from it, and so forth. You have a sense of urgency about you. And you don't want them to go that way because you know it's going to hurt them. You know it'll affect them. And in some cases, it can affect their long-term future, if you will, and maybe what God has for them and so on. And I see Solomon instructing his son with some urgency, listen to me, son. And he's teaching him to have wisdom and bow thine ear to the understanding. And boy, you know, you young people ought to understand and you ought to get it down that, you know, you got godly authority in your life. You listen to him. You know, you listen to, I preached about being a good soldier this morning and the commanding officers that we have, and God has strategically placed some godly people in your life, and you need to respect them, and you need to obey them, and you need to listen to them. If you have a godly mom and daddy, that's something you and you, every teenager, every child ought to thank God for tonight. You know, if you're godly mom and daddy, you know, maybe they've got a strong sense of urgency trying to teach you and train you not to go this way or go that way. They've got rules, if you will, to go ahead and try to keep you within the boundaries and so forth. And you may not understand it, and it's not for you to go ahead and huff and puff and go slam doors and get upset and get upset with your mom and dad and call them names and so forth. That's not honoring your mom and dad, by the way. But you know what? You ought to thank God if you've got a godly mom and daddy that love God, that have some rules about them, that have a sense of urgency that says, keep out. Don't go down that road. You go down that road, it'll hurt your future. You go down that road, it'll hurt your marriage, your future marriage. You go down that road, it may affect your future ministry or whatever the case may be. Hey, keep out, keep out, keep out. Thank God you have a mom and daddy that has some rules that teach you how to keep out of some things. Thank God, you know, you ought to thank God, and it's not about me, don't misunderstand, but thank God you got a church that'll go ahead and preach boldly, teaching us and preaching to us about staying away from some things in our life. Amen and amen. But Solomon has that strong sense of urgency. He's teaching them wisdom, teaching them how to have some wisdom and bow thine ear to understanding, listen if you will, and so that he can use the discretion and the choices that he'll make in the future. That discretion is talking about a process of insight, having insight, if you will, between right and wrong. It uses this example of the strange woman or a harlot, and you can go ahead and use them as otherworldly devices as well, but how this harlot specifically entices with her lips, her sly talk, and is kind of slowly drawing you in, and the result of you following her, the result of you listening to her, the result of you going in with her, so to speak, and so on, and following her ways, and being captured, if you will, by her, will leave you with bitterness. Her end in verse 4 is bitter as wormwood. You know, it'll leave you bitter, if you will, and it'll be like a two-edged sword stuck in you after she took a bite out of you. And as a result of you going in that way, it will affect your future. You need to understand it will affect you down the road. It'll affect perhaps a future ministry. As I mentioned a moment ago, it may go ahead and affect a future marriage, if you will. It may affect so many things in your life. And that's why, you know, Solomon says, hey, keep out. Stay away from the strange woman. Stay away from her. Stay away from sin. He tells him to remove himself, or in verse 8, instructs, remove thyself from her. Don't even go near her door. Stay away from it. And tonight I'm going to, as the Lord allows, just present a couple areas, just a couple key areas, very simply tonight, of areas that we as God's people just need to keep out. Stay away from it. It's dangerous. It'll harm you. It'll affect you. It'll affect your marriage, perhaps. It'll affect your marriage now. It'll may affect your family. Who knows? But it'll affect you in so many ways. It will infect you, if you want to put it that way. And I want to warn us some places. Don't even come near the door. You know, the old devil came in the form of a serpent back many, 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 many years ago, a long time ago in the Garden of Eden, very slyly came upon Eve, spoke soothing words to her, and look at where she wound up, and look at where we wound up. So tonight, I'm going to plead with you not to go near some doors. I'm going to plead with you, if you will, not to go, you know, if there's a keep-out sign spiritually, stay away from it. Don't cross that line. Don't go there. Don't even come close. Don't go into that lot, if you will. If you do, there will be some serious consequences. So number one, keep out of the place of immorality. You see that here. You see that Solomon's teaching that here to his son in verse number 8. He says, remove thyself from her. You know, I've been in the ministry long enough to go ahead and see what adultery and fornication and sex sins does to any preacher, and what it can do to any family, what it can do to any church, what it can do to any home, and what it can do to the children. You know what? Remove yourself, or keep out, if you will, keep away from, if you will, the sin of immorality. You know, today it's so laughed upon. You know, Hollywood makes it a mockery. Hollywood will go ahead and laugh at sex sin. Hollywood will go ahead and shack up. If it feels good, go ahead and do it, if you will. Hollywood promotes it, and we fall for it, and we laugh. And by the way, we'll see who has the last laugh. We may go ahead and laugh at it all and so on, but we will see who has the last laugh. Every knee, listen to me. You know, Hollywood can promote it all they want. They can promote the Playboy lifestyle all they want. They can promote the pornography all they want. But let me tell you something. One day, every knee will bow, every knee and every tongue will confess. You know what? Someone else other than Hollywood, someone else other than Hugh Hefner, someone else other than your movie actors, someone else other than your some of your sports stars, they're perverted as all get out. You know what? And maybe they're impressive on a ball court and or a baseball field or whatever they might have. But you know what? If you enter into some or find out some of the things that they do behind the scenes and so forth, they're perverted. And they're laughing it up, and they think all the money they got, and they can be womanizers, and they can do all of this and so forth and so on. And they may have a great time now. The actors of the Hollywood crowd may have a great time now. Hollywood may have a great time promoting it now. But let me tell you something. One day, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess. You know, we need to stay away from the place, or keep away from the place of immorality. If you're thinking about pulling into that lot, so to speak, you ought to just pull right out of that lot and don't even go there. Just keep out of it. Avoid the opportunity that it prevents. Remove yourself from it. The Bible says in Romans 13, 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Well, you know, the closer you are to God, the less likely you will be to fall. That's what that verse ultimately is teaching. You know, the closer you are to God, the more that you're in focus with God. You know what? It's hard to go ahead and fall if you've got the Bible in your hand and you're reading it every day. It's harder for you to go ahead and fall into immorality if you're in the church house listening to the preaching. It's hard for you to go ahead and fall if you're on your knees every single day. As we talked about it, talked a lot about it this morning, and didn't get to it in my prayer time, in my Sunday school opening this morning. But it talked about David praying three times a day and so forth. You know, if you bow your knee in prayer, and you make a time with your walk with God, and you make time for your Bible reading, if you make time for your prayer life, you make time for your preaching time, you make time for your church time, you make time for your ministry time, hey, you know what? It'll be very, very hard to go ahead and go into the way of the world. You know, the closer that you are to God, the closer that you are drawn to Him, it'll be harder for you to go ahead and fall into this sin of immorality that's so promoted today. It's everywhere you go. You know, we need to avoid the opportunity, if you will. We need to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ every single day. If you want to stay true to your wedding vows, then don't you go to places that would cause you to break them. I say it again, if you want to stay true, and I'm not mad at you tonight. If you don't have a husband, you don't have a wife, simply because of divorce or whatever, I'm not mad at you tonight. You know that. You know I love you. I'm not on you tonight. But you, those of you that are married tonight, you want a sweet relationship. You want 21 years of happy marriage. You want 19 years of happy marriage. Hey, you want 50 years. Anybody 50 years yet? It's okay. It's okay to admit it. 40? 40. 40 happy years. Let me just stop and say this. They're happy. They're happy. I know them well enough to know. I see the affection in their eyes. I mean that. You know, they're happy. They're almost like a young married couple from time to time. I know that. They're happy. You know, listen to me now. If you want to stay true to your wedding, then don't go to the places that would cause you to go ahead and break them. Be careful of the internet. Amen. Be careful of the internet. You know, the internet is a great tool. And it ought to be very careful to not make it a toy. You know, you got to be careful of it. Be very careful of them. What are they? Chat rooms. Yes, they are. Now that I think about it. Be careful of your websites. Be careful of television. I'm not preaching against necessarily internet. Not necessarily preaching against television. Not, I have those things. But you be careful of them things that'll go ahead and cause you to fall. You know, it'd be good if you parents knew exactly what your kids were, what websites they go on to. And I know that nowadays, brother, thank God for Brother Robles. He helps me with all that stuff. But, you can have all these safe eyes and safe doors or safe whatever. I don't know. You know, for your internet, you know what I'm talking about. If I said something, I don't know. But your protection, if you will. Now, thank God for them things. But you know what, mom and dad, you have a responsibility. You ought to know where your kids are going on that internet. You have every right to know, by the way. It's your house, amen? You ought to know what they're listening to on their iPod. You ought to know what they're watching on television. You need to be careful of Hollywood, and you need to be careful of things, if you will, even married couples that may go ahead and affect your marriage. Be careful of your roots to and from work. I know back in Indiana, man, you really had, you just stay focused on 8094, and that's about it. Don't even read a billboard. Seems like every other one promoted the sex industry some way or the other. Be careful of your bookstores. Be careful of your romance novels. Be careful of them. Places that cause your mind to wander about things that you should not be thinking of. Be careful of the music you listen to. Amen. Rock music. It's a tool of the devil. It's a tool of the devil. You can find me a rock song that goes ahead and promotes Jesus Christ and holiness and the blood of Christ and the cross and so forth. You can find me one of them, then let me know. But the truth of the matter is, you know what it promotes. Screeching and all this, whatever the case may be, and all kinds of vile stuff happens at them rock concerts and all kinds of, the lyrics alone aren't worth listening to. From the pit of hell. You got to be very careful. You got to know what your kids are listening to. You ought to be careful what you listen to. Be careful of these songs. Be careful of the music industry that promotes drugs and shacking up and sex and all this other stuff. You know, these are the kind of things that move the flesh and they stir desires and these are things that make provision for your flesh. That's why you need to put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every single day. It's a true statement. The closer you are to God, the least likely you are to fall. The closer you are, every single day, you've got to make time for Him. In this day and age that we live in a high, we talk about technical, living in a big high-tech society. It just seems like if you're not careful, you could be bombarded with so much stuff that'll lure you in. And you could say, I never planned, I never meant for it to happen. But you need to be very, very cautious and be very, very careful. Hey, keep away from immorality. Avoid the opportunities, if you will, that it brings, that it may give you. Be careful of the internet and the TV and all these bookstores that promote it. Let me just say this. If you can't handle these things, if you can't handle the internet, because it's causing you to go places you ought not go, then you know the best thing to do, get rid of it. Get rid of it. I can't, why? Is it worth going ahead and affecting you and your testimony and so forth just because you can't get rid of it because you need it for whatever, whatever the case may be? The truth of the matter is, you know why you need it. You need it for your flesh. If you can't control these things, get rid of them. Just remove them. TV that has sex all through it, your commercials have sex through it. Well, you ought to have control of that remote. It's even sad you can't even watch a sports program anymore without having to make sure the remote's in your hand so you can either change the channel or shut it down between plays, if you will. Avoid the opportunity, avoid the offer. The Bible says in Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a strange woman, drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Boy, she's enticing. She's offering, if you will. She offers with her speech and lips. And that's what, of course, Satan did with Eve, and he does it in so many ways. You go back to Genesis chapter 38. It's a situation where Joseph was there, and he turned down Potiphar's wife, and Potiphar's wife was trying to come on to him, and he wouldn't go ahead and fall for her and so forth. And one day he fled, and he left his garment, but you know what? He kept his godliness on. You know, he went ahead and he lost his coat, but he kept his character. You know, he didn't go ahead and get lured in by her lips, and she was trying to entice him and so forth, in Genesis 38 and so forth. But you know what? He kept his character. You know, avoid anyone who offers you to partake in such behavior. You dating couples, you be very careful. You be very, very careful. And by the way, parents, you ought to have a control of your children dating. Amen? Know who they're dating, where they're dating, who they're dating. I said who they're dating. It's okay. You know, just cough a little bit, clear it out a little bit. It's okay. You can let them know the kind of, you ought to teach them the kind of boys or kind of girls on the kind of person they ought to date. Do they love Jesus? First of all, are they saved? Do they love Jesus? Would that young man, if you will, lead her, if it's a daughter, lead her to right? Or is that young man, you better, parents, you got to be aware of this stuff. Or that young man just in it for whatever. You ought to know who they're dating, what they're doing, where they're going, and so forth. You ought to limit maybe some contact as far as, you know, you got everything, texting, phone call, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you ought to help them, teach them, parents, how to date. You know, be careful don't fall to the offer, if you will, of the strange woman. Avoid the outcome. You know, the outcome of such immoral behavior is treacherous. It's devastating. You don't have to adhere to it. You need to stay away from it. You need to keep out of immorality. You know, I think of David and Bathsheba. When David sinned with Bathsheba, number one, he knew better. After all, David was a man, just talking about a little bit before the service, he was a man after God's own heart. He knew better. You know, we know the story, you know, and it was when kings went to war, he took the day off. He should have been out in battle. He shouldn't have been home at all. He should have been the leader, if you will, out working, so to speak, out warring, if you will. But he stayed home, and of course he saw Bathsheba, and boy, you know, he lusted after her. And of course, you know, it just goes on. It just a spiral downward for David and Bathsheba, and he winds up having a baby, and David's daughter Tamar was, you know, this is all as a result, if you just look at all the baggage that came with that one act of David and Bathsheba. You know, he had a baby out of an illegitimate child. His daughter Tamar was raped by David's son Amnon. Absalom's servants killed Amnon. Absalom rebelled against his father David and stole the kingdom from him. Absalom was killed by Joab. David lost his testimony, therefore for hurting the testimony of the Lord, and David lost his joy. You know, and it took a period of years and everything, but look at everything that he went through as a result of not doing the right thing. He lost his joy. Psalm 51, you see where he repents, and boy, you see his lamenting, if you will, and I won't take time to turn to it tonight, but, you know, in Psalm 51:10, he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, his spirit was zapped. You know, he was devastated. He was just, you know, he was miserable because of sin, the sin of immorality, which he should have stayed away from. He lost his joy. He was sorry for his sins, and Psalm 51 says. He was sickened of himself because of his sin. Sin will make you feel sorry and sick. And it ought to, Christian. The sinful, wicked life ought to make you feel sorry and sick. The Holy Spirit of God ought to be moving in your heart when you're going the wrong direction and when you're doing some things that you know you ought not to do, and you ought to feel sick about it. If you're here tonight, you're playing around with sin, and there's something in your life that's not confessed, if you will. Well, you ought to get it to the altar and get it right with God before it eats you up. And you ought to, and by the way, you ought to feel miserable about it tonight if you're any kind of Christian. Amen? You ought to feel sorry about it. The Bible says in Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, the devil will go ahead and entice you. He'll go ahead and chew you up, and he'll spit you out. You sow immorality, you're going to reap what immorality sows. Disease, unwanted disease, pregnancy, divorce, hurting children, hurting spouses. You look at the turmoil again of David's great sin and how it affected him and his family. The Bible says in Numbers 32:23, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. You can have fun for a little while in that sin. You may think you're having fun for a little while in that sin, but it will go ahead and catch up to you. You can hide it for a little while. You may play around with it, so to speak, for a little while. And you may think nobody knows, but the truth of the matter is, and maybe your spouse doesn't know. Maybe your mom and daddy doesn't know. Your preacher may not know. Other godly leaders in your life may not know. But guess what? God knows exactly what it is. And you know what? He'll take that flashlight, and he's going to zoom right there. And he ought to be zooming it, and it ought to be so bright right there, right now, in your heart. And you say, I can't take it anymore, God. You've exposed it for what it is. It's time to get it right. You teach your children now how to live, mom and dad. Teach them how to act. Teach them about good behavior. Teach them, of course, we talked about how to date. Teach your daughter how to treat a guy. You teach your son how to treat a girl. Man. You teach them, both of you parents be involved. Teach them that it's good for a man not to touch a woman, vice versa. You control who they date. We've talked about that. Number next, keep out of the place of inactivity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9:10, first part of that verse, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. In other words, you keep busy. You know one sure way of not falling into trouble? Stay busy. Get busy. You know, get busy doing something. You know, you ought to have some sort of schedule in your life and get busy working for God. If you want a ministry, get busy coursing on your job. Get busy raising your family. Get busy, whatever the case may be. But be active and stay busy. You know, keep out of the place of inactivity. You know, why good Christians backslide and often become critical? Because they have an idle mind and they're not busy. They start having this idle mind, which produces idle talk, and they start saying things that they never thought they should say, and it's because they're not busy. They're busy saying things on how they should be done or how things should be done, but they're not busy rolling up their sleeves doing it. Good Christian people backslide simply because of the sin, if you will, of inactivity. We ought to be busy. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with thy might. Whatever it is that God gives you, you ought to give it all you got. You got a bus route, you ought to give it all you got. Not just half hiring, you know, well, here I am. And, you know, you go out soul winning on Saturday, boy, you give it all you got. You go out and you teach your Sunday school class, give it all you got. You got a family to raise, which is a ministry, as far as I'm concerned, that every mama and daddy have. Boy, you ought to give it all you got. You got a home, or you got your job, you got everything. Your job, you ought to give it all you got. Amen. Well, you know, I'm here, and I just want to get my 40 hours of work in and for 40 hours pay, and that's it. And you just kind of come dragging in, and you barely get there on time. If not on time at all, you might come in dragging in late or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I'm not be a lazy rascal. You know, it's time to work. Boy, roll up your sleeves. It's okay to sweat a little bit, amen? I sweat every Sunday up here, amen? I won't go any further, but I tell you what, I'm getting sweaty now. But keep busy. Keep out of the place of inactivity. Stay away from, as a result of inactivity, I see a lot of people have idle minds, which produces idle talk. Someone said an idle mind is the devil's workshop. Someone else has said that great minds talk about ideas, good minds talk about things, weak minds talk about people. I want to have a great mind. I want to be busy, so busy that I don't have time to be critical and bad talk or critic talk to about other people and so forth. I want to have a great mind. I like fellowshipping. I do. I love fellowshipping. I love hanging with the guys, if you will, so to speak. And I enjoy the fellowships that our church has. But if fellowshipping gets to a point where it's talking ill about people, it's time to end it. Amen. You know, none of our ministries here, none of our fellowships, whether it be a men's fellowship or a ladies' fellowship or senior saints fellowship, I don't care what it is. If it gets to a point that fellowship comes to talking about people and yapping about people and producing idle talk, it's time to disband it. Let me just say this. If I ever hear about it, I'll shut her down. Amen. You know, we ought to be loving one another. Now, and I don't know if it's happening or not, but none of our ladies' fellowship, none of our men's fellowship, if it gets to a point where we're just kind of yapping about everybody else and everything else and whatever the case may be, it's time to shut her down, say, okay, we're done for the night. And if it's that bad, and if it just continues on, we'll just be done with it. It ain't worth it. It's not worth it. I said, ain't. Uh-oh. Some English teacher in here? It's not worth it. You know, I like fellowshipping. I like hanging out with the guys, but you know what? You need to be careful of idle talk in your fellowshipping. You know, remember when you're pointing a finger, someone said when you're pointing a finger to somebody else, you know what? 1, 2, 3 fingers are pointing right back at you. Just be careful of it. Inactivity. We must be active. Let's not be lazy. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent may be made fat. You know, lazy people, they don't have a whole lot. They don't have a whole lot. But you know, God will bless a hard worker. That's what that verse teaches. You know, people say, you know, I wish I could drive the car they do or have that and so forth. And oftentimes it's people that don't have a whole lot of character. You know, I find hard worker, dude, God number one will bless that. And you know what? He'll give you, you'll be amazed the things that he will give you along the way as a result of hard work. We got to work hard. We ought not be inactive. Now, I remember when I was working in Chicago, we had downtown at the presidential towers there, just kitty corner of the towers there. There was a little white hen pantry. It's much like the Cumberland Farms we have here. And at lunchtime, I'd go over and get a cup of coffee or something and what have you. And out there, there'd be all kinds of homeless guys out there. And I don't make fun of them. I certainly love them and so on. And many of them are homeless because they put themselves there. They can work. I've talked to some of them. I remember talking to one guy. I'll go get back to my story in just a moment. But we remember talking to one guy. He was working right downtown Chicago just months before. He was all ripped up, torn up, tattered, and everything else. He working as a CEO, and he just decided to quit his job one day and whatever, and as a result of that poor decision, you know, he lost his family, he just lost everything, just within a few weeks or months or so forth, and he was a very able, you know, he was just telling me, he was just kind of testifying, he says, you know, sir, I should have gone ahead and kept my job. I said, you think? You know, and now he's lost everything. Now he was living, you know, this is like a November, December morning. I remember this particular time when I talked to him out there in the cold and so forth. But I remember going over the White Hen Pantry and so on, and one of the homeless guys come up and say, you know, hey, you know, you got a little bit of money that I can have and so forth and so on. I said, you know, I don't have any money that I can give you, but, you know, you come on in, I'll buy you a cup of coffee and a bite to eat and so forth. And, you know, come on, man, you know, you got a couple bucks, you can just go ahead and give it to me, you know, the money that you'd spend on that. I don't want it right now, I'll just go and get my cup of coffee later. He says, no, I said, sir, come right on in, I'll buy you a cup of coffee. He says, oh, come on, you know. I said, it's my policy. I don't go ahead and give money in this situation. I would be more than glad to go buy you something to eat, but I'm not going to give you any money. He got mad. That's a stupid policy. I know why he wanted to go get drunk with it. Inactivity. Those who are inactive don't have any vision. Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. You know what? Let's stay away from the inactivity zone. How do you stay away from it? Quickly, number one, you need to keep setting goals for yourself. Keep setting goals. You know, set goals in your Bible. Set goals in things that are right. You know, I don't care if you go ahead and you beat another level in some video game. Amen. I just want to get to that next level, and and you'll sweat there just trying to get all. I think I can make it. Well, if that's the kind of goals you're setting, God help you. Set some good goals. One that's active and one that's not lazy. They have some good godly goals that they're after. Maybe reading more Bible, increasing your prayer life, starting soul winning if you're not, or having a goal to go. Maybe becoming active in the church. Maybe spending more time with family. Maybe whatever the case may be. Maybe finishing your honey-do list that you start with, that was started when you first got married 15 years ago. You notice I did not say 21. But how do you stay out of that inactivity zone? Set goals for yourself. Set some good, reasonable goals, and keep stepping forward. Volunteer for something. If you've been saved for any period of time, boy, there ought to be something in you that says, after a certain amount of time, maybe not right away, but after a certain amount of time, I need to do something for Jesus. Man, there ought to be something, and if you feel all you can do is warm a pew and be faithful to that pew, God bless you, I love you, that's great, but after being saved a little while, I don't know about you, but after a little while, I just can't sit there for too long. I want the preaching, I'll sit there for the preaching, but, hey, preacher, what can I do around here? Volunteer for something. You realize there's all kinds of things that need to be done for God. All kinds of things. It doesn't take a whole lot of talent. Just take whatever ability, whatever talent God gave you, say, I want to use the talent God gave me for whatever. I know people who are excellent with their hands. Man, use that ability and talent for God. And I thank God for some men around here that have just literally done that. Through the years and even recently, you just used your ability that God gave you, and you in so many ways, you just gave it to the church. God blesses you for that. But maybe you've got a singing voice. Maybe you can teach. Maybe you can drive a bus or whatever the case may be. But, keep going forward. Don't sit there stagnant. You can't sit there stagnant, then, you're going to start to smell, so to speak. Boy, be active. Set some reasonable goals. Go forward. Get excited about doing something big for God. God wants to use you. I decided a long time, if he can use me, he dead sure can use you. I looked at myself, and I'll be transparent, I'll be honest. Look at myself in the mirror and say, God, I don't know. I have no idea. This is not the time to say amen, by the way. I have no idea why you use me. I really don't. But you know what? I just decided a long time ago, I want to be a vessel that can be used. God wants to use you. Maybe it's to win that neighbor to Christ. Maybe it's to, who knows? Whatever it is he's pointing out in your life right now, he wants to use you. Keep starting something new. That's what I've tried to do, is just try to keep, when I came here to pastor, just try to keep starting something new that just adds a little bit of extra spice, if you will, to our ministry, especially if it's the right course to take. If you've never taught and you're able to, you ought to try it. I'm telling you ever taught the Bible, it's awesome teaching the Bible, and if you're able to do it, try it. If you can go ahead and, there's a few guidelines that every Sunday school teacher has and so forth and so on, but if you can go ahead and meet that criteria and you can teach the Bible and so forth, teach some boys and girls, teenagers, something, you ought to go ahead and give it a shot. If you've never read your Bible through, you ought to do it. That's a good goal, by the way. Every year, you ought to have a goal, if you can, to read your Bible through in a year. And it can be done. If you've never developed a walk with God, man, you ought to do it. You're saved and so forth, but how about your walk with God? How about your prayer life? How about your Bible reading? Do you have that set time for it? Number three, this is my last point. Amen and amen. We'll be done. Keep out, if you will, of iniquity. The Bible says, I'll turn back to Psalm 1:1. We know the psalm very, very well, very familiar psalm, but I'm just going to read it here. Psalm 1:1, I'll get to it here. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, the place of iniquity can be a place of bad companions. You ought to be very careful who you hang with. People who criticize you as a Christian, you know what? That's probably not the guy to rub shoulders with, because eventually you get to a point of being so discouraged that you, if you're not careful, you'll start backing away from the things that are right. I when I worked in the secular field, you know, I mean, I had the sharp haircut, and I had, you know, I'd read my Bible on break, and boy, let me tell you something, for weeks, especially early on, man, you know, they would literally make fun of me. Didn't bother me. Quite honestly, it didn't affect me one bit. It, you know, they'd go ahead, and I'd walk into the break room, and once they realized who I was, here comes the preacher, boy. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Here's the Jesus freak. Hey, guys, thank you very much. Didn't bother me. I wasn't going to let their spirit affect my spirit and affect me from going, you know what? And I dead sure, until they got their attitude right, and eventually I knew it would, I knew they would settle down eventually. After a while, you get tired of the same old jokes and so forth. I knew they'd settle down eventually. But I wasn't going to go ahead and rub shoulders with them, because I was not going to be part of that crowd. I wasn't going to be unkind to them. I worked with them every single day, and man, I believed in, you know, if I go to work, I dead sure wanna be able to get along, at least get along with the coworkers. And I did get along with them, but if they made fun of me, I mean, okay, that's fine. I wasn't going to bow to their foolishness. I wasn't going to go ahead and bend, if you will, to their foolishness. Be careful of bad companions. You know, by the way, you know, I'm very careful, but, you know, they can be anywhere. You know, they could be in and out of church, I suppose. You know, been in the ministry and Christianity, been a Christian long enough to see it. You know, got to be very, very careful of companions that if you, you know, not careful, they'll just kind of drag you away due to a critical spirit or whatever the case may be. It may be at work. Maybe you just got to be careful of it. You know, stay away or keep out of the place of iniquity, of the bar rooms, of people who pull you down. You know, a red flag comes up when I know someone, you know, when someone goes ahead and says, you know, well, let me go ahead and tell you what's going, you know, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, but, then don't tell me. You know, everybody likes to try to be the gossip or the informer. You know, the only time, there have been times that people have literally come with a sense of urgency. I could see in their voice, it was a sense of urgency. Preacher, I got to tell you this because it's going to be harmful. It's going to be harmful to the other party. I understand that. But if you come to me with an idea, simply because you're trying to get some axe to grind with some fellow person or whatever, and you just want to say things just to go ahead and get back at them, I really don't want to hear it. And you shouldn't want to hear it either. It's almost like the they got these tabloids all over the grocery stores and so forth, and it's almost, you know, some people are almost like a Christian tabloid. Well, let me tell you, how is it going to affect them? How will it hurt them? I mean, are you doing it to retaliate against them? Are you doing it to try to hurt them? That's not the kind of companion that you ought to rub shoulders with. I'd be very, very, very careful of that kind of companionship. Very careful. Be careful of bad counsel. People who use their motives to steer you to do wrong. You know, get your counsel. You know, and I talked a little bit about it this morning, but get your counsel from good, godly people. You know, not for my indulgence, but get your counsel from your preacher. Get some counsel from your preacher. I said it this morning, and I don't say it, and I taught some laymen back a while ago and been asked to just say a few things about pastoral leadership back quite a while back, so forth, and it's just something I said. You know, you ought to get to know your pastor. I don't say this because I'm not urging you. I mean, I feel like I know my people and so forth, but, you know, you ought to get to know your pastor. And I don't say that to, believe me, you know, if you think, well, what is pastor trying to, you know, that's not, someone's just got to say it, but you ought to get to know him. If I may say, I'm not that bad a guy, but you ought to get to know him. Get some advice from him. Get your counsel from godly people. Get some, you know, if you've got a godly mom and dad, boy, you ought to rely on their counsel. Mom, Dad, could you help me with this? Mom, Dad, stop and help him with it. You know, and maybe you got to go to mom for certain things, and maybe you got to go to dad for certain things, but, you know, get some godly counsel. Go to a godly teacher. Definitely get your counsel from someone who's godly. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Keep out. You see the signs. Go into some store, they might have that keep out sign or danger zone, or you've seen the signs. There's a reason why, because it could be harmful to you or what have you. And tonight I just gave you three simple areas to keep out. Immorality is so big today. Immorality is so big. You got to be so careful. You dads, it seems like that pornography is zoomed right into men primarily. You dads, you've got to be, you know, think before you act. Think before you act. Think about your wife. Think about them precious kids that you have. And if you go this way, what will it go ahead and do for your family, to your family? Well, that ought to be a big reason. You know, God ought to be the big reason, obviously, and the fact that you're a Christian. But one of the big reasons why you wouldn't want to go that way simply is think of that loving family that God has given you. Be very careful of immorality. Be very careful of iniquity. Just be very, very careful of the places that you go. Keep out. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, God. We thank you for tonight. God, I just want to share a couple things. I see a dad's urgency to his son here in Solomon. I see him just saying, attend to me, listen to me, son. There's some areas that you need to have some discretion on. You got to learn right from wrong. You just need to stay away from. And as a pastor tonight, I just taught on a few things, just a few things that can devastate a Christian, that can devastate a godly teenager, that can devastate a godly young child that has so much promise for you. And I pray, dear God, that maybe these little warning signs, these little red flags, would maybe help somebody tonight. I pray if some are on the verge of entering into some of these areas, if you will, that they'd think, stop, come get it right before it's devastating to them. I pray, God, you'd bless this invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Pianist is going to go ahead and play. If God spoke to your heart tonight, I won't you just go ahead and move on the first note. All to Jesus.
Thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for everything you've given us. Another great day in church, Lord. We could never thank you enough for that, Lord. And Lord, we pray for these prayer requests, Lord. We pray for Brother Joe as he's asking for a prayer for Mike McNeely or McNeil, Lord. You know how influential he was in Brother Joe's life, Lord. We pray that you give the doctor's wisdom on the surgery and just bless that surgery, Lord. Lord, we pray for Miss Patty and Miss Doreen, Lord. Lord, I pray that you be with Brother Rick too, as he has health struggles he's going through, Lord. And I pray for Miss Carol's back surgery, God. Just give the doctors wisdom, and Lord, I just pray that they'd everything would come out from that surgery, Lord. And Lord, we also know Brother Roger's back is bothering him, Lord. The muscle in, or the disc in his neck, Lord, just be with him, comfort him, Lord. I pray that you heal him of that, Lord, and just alleviate his pain, Lord. Lord, and Sean, as he's going in for surgery, Lord, it seems like so much of that is going on right now, Lord. Just be with all those that are going in for surgery, Lord. Just bless them and comfort them, Lord. And I just pray that you give them comfort as the uncertainty of surgery, Lord. Just I just pray that you bless those that are going through health struggles, Lord, and all the other prayer requests, Lord. Those traveling, Lord, those struggling with cancer and struggling with personal issues, Lord. I just pray that you be with those, bless those people, Lord. Work out those problems, and just for your glory and for your praise, Lord, in your name, amen.